This is the Dudes in Christ podcast.
What's poppin'? This is the Dudes in Christ podcast. I'm your host, Justin Fowler.
I'm Josh Cullum.
And our brother Ruckus didn't make it today. We're sad. We're a little distraught.
Yeah.
We cried a little bit before we started.
Tried to get him on the phone. Yeah, he's shady buttoned us.
He act like he has stuff to do or something.
To-do list. Honey,
right.
Do you?
That's right.
I left him. We had, the washer line froze up. Our drain froze up.
You said it spewed out in the...
Spewed out in the hallway.
Golly.
Just a straight line out to a ditch. Probably shouldn't say that.
Yeah. We edit that part out.
We call me in. But it's froze somewhere between the house and the ditch. But
yeah, so when y'all's hearing this, it's a week behind from when I actually recorded. So if you're in the greater Southeast Missouri,
February 14th.
Yeah, we're preparing for the nice chilly weather. I was in a class last week, virtual class for work. And was talking about the weather to come, and like, man, it's so cold, and it was like 15 degrees outside that day. And I was just kind of griping and crying about it, and then some guy from Canada popped on. He's like, yeah, hey, it's negative 30 here this morning.
I'm like, man. Right now at 4:34 p.m., it feels like negative 2. And this morning it felt like negative 12.
Feels like I need to be behind a fireplace somewhere.
Yeah. It's going to be a cold day tomorrow. Lots of snow, too.
Yep, so... Besides cold, how's your week been?
It's been good.
Been good.
Going by quick.
Yeah.
It's cold outside every day, no matter what.
Yeah, you don't really find yourself doing anything there. I don't find myself doing anything outside after work for sure.
No.
But yeah, today was a good one. We had a good service, had some music practice, learned some new songs, so excited for that.
Yeah. Well, we'll get 5 new songs.
Yeah.
In one service.
Yeah.
Or one set day.
About an hour or so.
Hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. It'll take us a while to divvy all them out, but.
Yeah. It went good, though.
No, it went great.
Got a good meal, and now straight here to record.
Yes, sir. Today, we like to talk a little bit about church. We'll talk a little bit about the early church. We'll talk some denominational things and some importance of some things and maybe some lesser importance of other. It's funny. We was talking earlier about the message today. It just... It was like almost what we wanted to talk about, so that was kind of pretty cool.
Yeah. It gave us a head up or a ones up on what we planned on doing. Everything's kind of, even podcasts I've just listened to, random podcasts have all been hitting on this exact same thing.
Yeah.
So I've had a lot through the week, but zero times did I write anything down. And right. Now did I need it up here in my head? And ain't coming.
What do I say now? But no, I think it was great. And, if we look at the book of Acts, we ask ourselves, what did the early church do? And man, they didn't go around on the corners preaching how bad hell was.
No.
They said repent, but ultimately they talked about Jesus,
All right.
His kingdom.
Kingdom's coming. If we want to get into, I'm... Not even in the right book. That sounded good, though, where I was at. I was in Ephesians 1 on Paul's prayer for spiritual wisdom. I guess we can read that because that's one thing that we're all trying to get. I stay in the mic. It says, I have not, Ephesians 1:16, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, which are his rich and glorious inheritance.
Man, that's so awesome. And it's, we ask, just like, what was it, Solomon that asked for wisdom. And that's the thing that some of us at times, even myself, have been guilty of not seeking wisdom or looking... towards wisdom, looking towards my own, what do I think about it instead of, asking for God's wisdom. And, going forward in the church, just not the church here, not the church there, just the church in general,
right.
You know, Christianity, is, man, we really need to tap into some wisdom when it comes to building this church, especially in a day like today where, you know, there's many ways to easily divide each other,
right.
You know, even if you're both Christians or whatever. And I think we just got to go back to some of the things that the early church done.
Yeah. Yeah, if we look at them, man, they're family-based. Just everything is family-based. And like we, even in our message this morning in church, it was we don't forsake the fellowship of each other together. You know, even the bad weather we had in this area, most all churches were closed for services due to ice in the parking lots and stuff. And we tried to go up and above to make sure that we can get some salt on there and, you know, get people here. And we were packed out today.
Yeah, it was surprising.
We thought we were going to have nobody packed out. Just people, you know, hungry for God.
Absolutely. Hungry for God. And then and we talked about it in our trailer episode, is it's got to be all about family, all of us coming together. And, you know, as a church, that's even maybe somebody that's not in our church, but somebody that's outside of the church questioning, you know, should I come to church or what's this Jesus about, is we should remember that family aspect, as, you know, we're not trying to push our beliefs or the things, the legalistic things, you know what I mean? That this is bad and you could go to hell for it. And, you know, it talks about God, you know, looks at the heart. He doesn't look at our good works or the works we do. If he did, he would be very disappointed in some of us.
Yeah.
In myself.
Disappointed in a lot of, yeah.
That's kind of what grace is. Pastor talked about the grace, and if I could just define that, grace is the divine influence of the heart and reflection in the life. And grace is pure and rises to the top. And he used that picture of the water and oil.
Yeah.
You know, the oil coming to the top was the grace, and the water is sin. And, of course, grace and sin doesn't mix, so we can't go around and just live the life we want to live, being worldly and full of sin, and say, hey, grace has got us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, grace does have us. You know, when we truly start at the heart and, you know, bring God in, or bring Jesus into our life, you know, things start to change, our attitudes, our way of life, the way we talk, you know, the things we may listen to or watch or, you know, all that changes, but it doesn't have to change before God can actually work on our heart.
Right. Yeah, we are going through that this week with our son. You know, we've decided after going through his phone that he's not mature enough for some of these social media apps that he had with his buddies. You know? And we'd tell him, you know, the way you talk now, that's not who you are. And, you know, if you get out, if you're talking like that behind our back, you're putting out a reflection of your family.
Yeah.
So you're reflecting how me and your mom might act, or, you know, giving a false reflection because of the things you think you're doing in dark, and you know, everything you do in dark will be brought to light.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a hard, social media is a hard thing for kids today and even for adults. And it's, do you ever watch The Social Dilemma?
No.
You got to watch it, dude.
I'm scared to, honestly.
Logging out of everything.
Yeah. Be logging out. I mean, it'd be good, and I think it'd be wise if we all did it. But they got us, man.
Yeah, they do.
They got us,
and it's so addicting, and you don't even realize it. Yeah. Like after I watched it, I was like, well, I'm gonna log out of everything for a while. And so many times, I would just scroll through my phone and tap the icon, and you know, I'd be signed out, so it wouldn't show me.
Log in, like
golly, dude, like 100 times a day, just clicking it.
Yeah, you don't realize how much time goes by. And then we used the excuse too, that my excuse for not doing it was, that's how most of my family, you know, talks to each other. We use that, you know, Messenger, stuff like that. I could get by without doing Snapchat and I don't even have Instagram, stuff like that. I could get by without doing that. But two, I think we need to use the tools that they've given us to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
And just be more aware, more self-conscious of what we do when we're on it, how much time, don't spend all day on it.
Nope.
You know, if we could get there to post it, or it's hard to say not to spend all day on it and then post your video or right. podcast and be like, hey guys, listen to this.
Yeah, but don't watch anything else but listen to this podcast. But no, even the temptation and everything for younger people.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was young, like
text messaging first come out.
Yeah. Well, even before that, like the dirty magazines, it's like, man, look, you know, it's so hard to get. Yeah. I say hard
innocent
to get,
too at that.
Yeah. It's like few and far between. Some of us. Like, man, we're going to Timmy's house because he's got those, you know what I mean? Now you can just pull out your phone and you don't even have to search it. It's just boom in your
feed.
Right
there. Hey, go through your spam.
Spam.
Or I think it's your spam email.
Ain't that what you eat? Like you can fry it.
Yeah, and you do that too. You go through that, and you'll see some of these like where your information's been sold and out there. Like you showed me where
they're
collecting our info and stuff. But I just went through my spam email and had all these different companies and stuff. And you'll have some, you know, dirty companies sending stuff.
Yeah, it's like they know more about us than we know about us at times.
Yeah, the way we talk, the way we walk, and that's where we got to be the influence. Like we were talking about last time, outside these four walls.
Yeah.
You know, let everybody see the light in our life.
Yep. And that's what, you know, let them see our light. And then also, if they have questions, don't beat them up, you know, because, for example, you know, I've heard people say, "Is will I go to hell if I do this?" Well, for one, I don't think God's a situational God where it's like, all right, you know, if you do this, you're going to hell. But if you don't, you're going to heaven. You know what I mean? He looks at the heart. You know, he doesn't look at your outward actions. Not that, you know, we have to say sin is sin. You know, we can't just sugarcoat everything and say, oh, it'll be all right. Back to what we were saying about the grace and sin. It doesn't mix. But at the same time, it's not our job to condemn anybody for their sin or whatever. We need to do like the book of Acts. We just need to preach Jesus, teach Jesus.
If you look at that analogy of the oil and the water, we don't know how much grace covers how much sin or how much oil covers how much water, how much you need to you know, cancel out. Should I say, I don't know if I'm going down a rabbit hole there, but you know, we don't know how great God's grace is as far as you did something you weren't aware of.
Right.
I mean, I think intentional sin, yes, is something totally different than just doing something and
If you continue
not being aware of it,
he'll bring it out to you. You know, he'll eventually work it out of you, and you'll start to have conviction or you know, like, man, I really shouldn't be doing this, and because I'm feeling some kind of way. You know, after I've done whatever, insert your own sin there, but whatever it is, he'll start to work it out of you, and it's a process of that. You know what I mean? Sanctification takes time. You know, we don't give our heart to Jesus Monday, and then Friday we're 100% perfect.
A lot of people worry about the big sins in their life too. You know, after I get done with this, or I get done doing this, or once I quit doing this, then I'll surrender to Jesus. And we worry about the big sins. And when I got saved and can 100% without a doubt say that I was saved, there was a change in my heart to where the first thing that I noticed changed was my speaking. That was the first thing. I was still smoking cigarettes, if you want to throw that out. I was still smoking.
Right.
But the way I talked completely changed like overnight.
Yeah.
And then some people, it takes a while for your language to change.
Yeah, that was me. You know, I had that same deal. It still took me a while. I would still get around the guys and then, you know,
if you stray away,
slip or whatever. But yeah, how I spoke was a big thing for me. Probably the biggest thing for me to actually, not that I finally achieved 100% Christian, you know, the perfect Christian status, but, you know, some of the, like you said, the bigger stuff was easy just to shuck off, you know, but how I talked, it took me a while and a lot of praying and a lot of digging, and I finally had to come to a point where I wanted to quit, you know, worse than I did.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to be the funniest guy by saying the most perverted stuff or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, right.
So you had to finally commit to it and do it.
And speaking of giving up some things, you know, we had our practice after church, but I want to give a shout out to whoever left their cigarettes on the altar today.
Whoop, whoop. Yep, that was awesome.
We found that, the lighter, cigarettes, everything crushed and on the altar.
Yep, that is.
That's wild.
Yeah, I didn't even know that happened until.
No.
I was
about to leave and I seen something sent there.
Yeah, what is that?
Man, that's awesome.
Yep, left it at the altar.
You know, there's a lot of times I wish I could have done that with things that was still going on, and it's willpower.
Yeah.
It comes down to willpower. How bad do you want to get rid of it?
Right.
And who are you going to get rid of it? And they did the right thing.
Absolutely.
I'm proud of them.
That, yeah, I'm super proud of them too. And just speaking of that, not to get in a rabbit hole of this, but going to the altar, some, you know, we talk about churches and stuff like that. Some churches, I've been in some churches that it's like, if you go to the altar, it's almost like you're a minute of doing something wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you don't want to, you don't want to be going to the altar because somebody will know you sinned. But
yeah,
just like that, no, he took it to the altar and gave it to God there. It was in betterment for himself. It wasn't anything about, hey, I'm sorry. It's like, hey, I'm surrendering. I'm giving this to you.
I had a pastor growing up. He said that he chewed tobacco and smoked cigarettes at the same time. He said he had a little can down in the middle of a seat there between the seat, and so he spit down there, and sometimes it fly back, hit him in the face. But,
at church?
No.
Oh, I thought you were saying he done it at church. But,
anyway, well, he did the thing, you know, when he was done, decided he was done, he threw him out the window and never touched him again.
Yep.
I think that was the same with the brother Dustin, or my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
You know, he just left it there and said, I'm done.
Yeah. You that's the only way you're going to do it. You can't taper off when it comes to stuff like that.
No.
You gotta cut it and go through a season of hurting or you know, whatever the symptoms are of getting rid of it, you know.
But, yeah. Like that is, I would say smoking is one of the hardest things to quit.
Yeah, I bet.
Because I smoked for a long time, and then I started vaping. And that was the only thing I could do to I just replaced one with the other.
Yeah.
But and that's still a struggle for me to get rid of today, you know.
Yeah. You're going to get rid of it.
I can do it, yeah.
I can feel it. You're going to get rid of it.
Yeah, I don't know. You're very moss.
I put it this way. I'll quit Oreos if you quit vaping.
All right.
You didn't sound too committed there.
And don't believe you're committed to the Oreo thing.
Well, you might have either. All right. But no, it's got to be Jesus first if we get back to the topic. Ephesians 2 and 8 reads, you know, God saved you by his grace when you believed. He didn't save us after we done XYZ. He saved us when we believed, then and there. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it.
It's not about works.
No, it's not about works. Works is important, but when it comes to salvation, it's not something, you know, it's not something you can take credit for.
No, it's a free gift. Nope. You didn't have to work for it. Yep. You don't deserve it.
Right.
You didn't earn it.
So if we go back to the grace and salvation, you know, being by something that we couldn't do, we can go back into Luke 23. You know, I was reading Luke 23:39. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise."
And I have "today" underlined.
Yeah.
Is he didn't... He wasn't baptized.
No.
He
didn't
speak in tongues.
No, he believed.
He just believed that he was the Messiah. And that's simply, when it comes down to it, that's all it takes. I think Brother Dalton has this ABC saying, admit you're a sinner, believe in Christ, and confess your sin.
Yeah.
And it's that simple.
Yeah. Anything other than that is something that we do. You know what I mean?
It's religion.
Yeah.
Anything other than that.
He done his part by once we believed, his part's done.
Yeah.
So anything besides that is something that we done, and that's not how we're saved, by something we do.
Right. Yeah, it's really that simple. The hardest part is after. It's the walk.
Yeah.
And it's the daily walk is hard. It's to die daily to your sins and walk it out, and that's really hard. Especially if you don't change your surroundings.
Yeah, that's big, because people know you, you know your surroundings, and they expect you to act a certain way because that's how you always act. Yeah. So if you're, you know, you almost feel like if you're going into to your people and starting to act different, that you're going to be fake or, you know, this is something new. Why are you acting like this? But you're exactly right. You know, if somebody is tempting you in sin, you just got to get away from that.
Yeah.
But I also like to say it's a, you know, you talked about it being a walk. It is a walk. It's not a run.
Yeah.
Through, you know, just the time we've been here, we've seen a lot of people come and give their life to the Lord and take off running, you know, and just run too fast.
Burn out real fast.
Yeah, burn out and you know, you
get in over your head and you get stressed out and you're like, well, this is too hard. I'm done.
Yep.
Go back.
Yep. Try to save the world. And when you realize the world's a bad place, then you end up getting discouraged yourself.
Yeah.
You got to, like you said, continue to walk and build yourself up and get in the Word and then help others as you go.
Yeah. If we look at the first, if we were to get back to the first church, we look at how they were during that day. And Ruckus has sent us some what he calls verbiage.
Verbiage.
To look at.
He's got those words, man. Man,
yeah, he is good at it. Like, I really enjoy listening to how deep he goes in. Because, like, I'll read through and rush through the scripture and pick up a few points. But, like, he's a verse-by-verse, break it down to the point of, hey, I'm putting myself right there in that moment with them. What are they thinking?
Right.
And I don't dig that deep into it. But his verbiage, it says, look at the verbiage, I guess, from Acts 2 and 1 through Acts 4 and 12. And he said, you're going to see Holy Spirit. They pray together, testify, exhort, continued in sound doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers, continue in one accord, praising God, healing and giving God the glory, preaching repentance. And they went from 120 to 5,000 people in just these few chapters here that Luke wrote.
Yeah, I heard one pastor say it's the book of multiplication.
You know, yeah.
That's exactly what it is. It started, I've used the instance, the mustard seed started as 12 dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See the beginning of the kingdom start here. And
it's 12 dudes that we know of. And then on top of, they had people under these 12 too.
You know, right.
Because the word spread, there was other ones. But these are our 12 main that we get a witness of. I put it in the Bible. You know, but they were constantly united in prayer. If we look at that, going through there, they basically lived together. And I mean, today we can't all live together in the same building or things like that. We have our own families, but we have set times that we get to fellowship together.
Yep.
And the more we do it, the more I'm learning to enjoy the fellowship part and not just rush in. Do the service, get through the service, and back out. And I want to be there. I want to enjoy it. I want to fellowship with like-minded people. I find myself more built up there than I am anywhere else.
Yeah, once you begin to fellowship with people, you start to make a difference in their life. You know what I mean? Because you might come to church and really some, you know, maybe God's put a word in your spirit or whatever. And once you become close with somebody else, you can share that. Ashley used the example when she started the Run for God with y'all, that it kind of brought her closer to like the Messiah guys and stuff, because you see them at church, but you know, you just say, hey, and you know, and you go on your business. But she said, you know, she's, you know, felt more heartfelt towards them and really understand, you know, a lot more things.
They open up, you know, they're on fire. You know, if you look back at, they haven't been saved or in a good environment very long at all, you know. A lot of these guys are coming straight from jail into this house.
Yeah.
And they're coming from bad backgrounds. And if, you know, to hear their testimonies, man, they come from some bad things, did some bad things. But to know, like, what they ask for prayer for now, like, you know, I need prayer in this because the old me wants to do this.
Yeah.
But I know I shouldn't. And we were able to, in that class, tell them, you know, that's already one big change. Mm-hmm. If you slow down, look at it, That's one change, because you know that now you know you don't need to do that.
Yep.
You know, your thinking's already changed.
Yeah, and that's how, you know, when people come to you with a problem, you respond in love. You don't, like we talked about, we don't beat them up with their sin. You know what I mean? We're not ever here to try to scare somebody's sin away.
No.
You know, the whole doctrine, we won't get into this, but the whole rapture doctrine, you know, it's a fear tactic. You know, I see it as a fear tactic. A lot of people will bring it up and say, you better get right because the Lord's coming.
Yeah.
Well, you better get right because the Lord died for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not that you're in fear of some tribulation that may occur. It's, you know, when we change our theology and actually view God as our Father and not this smiter, you know what I mean? He's not here to correct you at every little mistake. He's not here to bring you down when you mess up. He's here to love you no matter what.
Show you what you did.
Yeah, and once you understand that, you start to change. You start to, just like a father and a son or a daughter, you know, you don't, the kid is in fear of, you know, its parents, or it should be.
Right.
But it's not in a fear that, oh God, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to get beat killed or something.
Yeah. No matter after your parents say
right. It's a respect thing. Right.
But yeah, it's respect. When we get to that, actually, in Acts chapter 2, verse 2 and 42, said all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So we already see that there, the first church, the lifestyle that they're living there. And then it says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And we looked into that word awe, and it, I think King James puts it as fear. A deep sense of fear came over them, and it's, we were like, fear is into something bad, but when we looked into this, it's more of a reverence to God. You know, it's a holy fear, a good fear, to be scared, that not necessarily scared of him, but to be scared to mess up and disappoint him.
Yeah.
But,
don't want to end up like Acts chapter 5.
No. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they were open-minded, opened their hearts to hear what the word was, what the teachings was. They fellowship, they shared meals, did the Lord's Supper, they prayed together. And when they did that, then we see that many miraculous signs and wonders were done. And then all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had, sold their property and possessions, and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So.
Yeah, it's all about enjoying
their family.
Yeah, you know.
You look at it.
Like you said, 47, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people.
Yeah. So when we get that mindset, and I believe you see it more and more. I'm seeing it a lot more in the churches in our area too.
Yeah.
The family atmosphere, you see a lot of the people in the churches doing things outside the church together.
Yep.
Which, I mean, my parents did that. I remember going to other, like, at least, not going to say once a month, but, you know, a few times a year, probably maybe a handful of times a year, that we went to other church members' houses that wasn't our family, because my family was a very large portion of that church.
Right, kind of like a small group deal or something.
We would just go, like, it'd just be my parents. They go to another couple's house, and me and my brother go play in whatever we could play in, find a play, because they didn't have kids, so there wasn't very many toys. Find something to do.
Yeah.
And
Didn't have TikTok back then.
You know, didn't have that. I think Minesweeper was out on the big old computers back in that day.
Is that where the little
boxes? You had to click
boxes?
The little mines, yeah. I think that was out.
Is there, like, any way to figure that game out, or you just kind of click?
You just keep going, click, work your way around it.
I gotcha.
I thought I figured it out. I don't think there's a way to beat it, though.
Man, I was playing Ashley had a, and I've never understood these either. I don't know if Lanny had it or Ashley had it or what. This little bitty Rubik's cube had like four little squares. And did I spent 30 minutes and couldn't get one side right. And I was like, golly.
The boys are talking about the kid in their school's got one. It's a weird shaped one. It's not even square, like 12 sided or something. I don't know. And they can solve it. No problem.
Golly.
Yeah, but we'd run and, you know, I remember playing that game, but I never paid attention to what they were talking about ever.
Yeah, that's when I was, and I think I shared that in the first trailer there, is I would, like, even church, man, I grew up in church since I was in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I couldn't imagine, I put it like this way, I couldn't imagine growing up now having your phone in your pocket. And then sitting in church, you know, because I was distracted by, we've done stupid stuff, you know, we'd throw gum wrappers at people and stuff like that.
But, doing stuff under the pew, the preacher can't see you.
Yep.
Yeah, because I've busted my kids at church, walk up on them and they're playing a video game on their phone, like, give me the phone.
Yep.
That time's over. We questioned them too, like, hey, what was church about today? What's Sunday school about? Yep. The one answer Casey used to give us, I think it was Casey. So what'd you learn in Sunday school? God. Well, duh. What did you learn? So she'd do that. I'm like, well, technically, you're right, but what'd you learn? So we try to keep on them, try to, you know, if they know we're going to ask them, at least they'll pay attention. Right. And they do. They pay attention a lot more than what we think they do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure, yeah, you. That's what Ashley says, you know, working with the youth sometimes she kind of gets discouraged because they're in that age where, you know, if you're sitting behind and teaching them every week, they're, you know, sometimes they're tuned in, but sometimes they're not. And she said she kind of questions, you know, is she making a difference in their life? And then, you know, one of them will go and pray for somebody at the altar or do something like that. And she's like, you know, that feels good for her because she's like, well, they've gained something, you know. They might not have been listening the whole time, but they've gamed enough to where, hey, you know, we need to pray for somebody or et cetera.
Yeah, and speaking of praying for somebody, when we get into Acts chapter 3, Peter and John with the lame man at the asking for alms at the beautiful gate. You know, they come in, they told him he was asking for money, but they said, Peter, basically, you know, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. And, you know, if we go back to, they were in that family atmosphere.
Yep.
In that time, if you're in constant communication with God, I believe God is more able to work through you.
Yeah.
And I believe that these miracles that were done was because of how they were doing their life in between the lines here.
Yeah. I think Pastor talked about it when we went over the study, talked about when the man got up, there's two miracles right there, you know, but Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I do have in the name of Jesus Christ, Nazarene, get up and walk. And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and held him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed. So, you know, he was lame. He couldn't walk. And he also gained strength, you know, in his feet and ankles at the same time. So being able from not being able to even get up, being from lame.
Birth.
Yeah, from birth and then going and shouting in the temple. I can imagine, I would like to put myself, I'm not going to say I would like to be living in the time they lived in, but I would like to be there and experience that all, like you talked about. Like when that guy got up healed and went into the temple, because, you know, that guy was at the gate. You know, people knew that guy. They knew him as the lame guy.
Right.
And then he got up in the temple and was running around, jumping, shouting for joy. Like, imagine being in that. You know, that'd be just so, like, almost hard to understand and hard to believe at that time, because it was just so.
And that's the way we are here. Show me state.
Yeah.
You know, you got to show Missouri. Me for me. Do it. I mean, there's alls, we say alls that come over in our church services, even because, you know, it's not always, like Pastor said, it's not always done jumping and running and hanging from the chandelier.
Yeah.
The awe moments that normally that I notice and give reverence to, I guess, is, you know, that calm, that quiet, and listening to what God has to say.
Yep. There's,
because we're in a go, go, go society. Everything is go, go, go. Get me now.
Yep.
Let's do it now. And
if we can slow down at times, like you said, even at church, because there's so many different aspects of service. You know what I mean? There's some service that you're jumping, shouting, like the guy that got healed. There's some services, like you talked about, that you just need to, you know, be quiet and calmer and listen. And you know, there's different aspects. Because if we come looking in for the same thing, you know, I think Pastor talking about it being an emotional service, you know, we can have an emotional service and walk out the doors of the front church and run into all kind of hell outside the world. And, you know, we tend to forget, you know, if we get, you know, say the worship, just the worship service or whatever there, we don't really get the word in. That word might have been what we needed to get through that week.
Right.
You know what I mean? We had an awesome time at church, you know, praising and singing songs, but if we're not built up here, and then when we go out, you know, we have to have something poured into us to pour out in the world.
We need the word, and like in Sunday school today, you know, saying, you know, you almost guarantee that a lot of people, the only word they're getting is seeing or even reading is the one time a week at church.
Yeah.
Because if I was always asking God, you know, God, just speak to me, tell me what you want me to do. And, you know, I want to be in a closer relationship with you. I would never open my Bible.
Yeah.
It's me, Facebook, just watching videos. Just talk to me
in an audible voice.
Yeah. Talk to me on the way home.
Yeah, that's how I myself have been guilty several times. Just like, you know, God, tell me something. But then, like you said, the only time I'm getting the word is at church. You know, I'm not taking the time set aside to seek his word or seek his face and prayer. We got to do that if we're ultimately going to do, I won't say for salvation.
No.
But to
a relationship.
To be all that God wants us to be, we got to put in an effort.
Right.
I've thought about this, and I think we've talked about it in the men's group, and I don't know where the scripture is, but it talks about the narrow gate to being the gate of life, and then the broad gate, you know, being the path of destruction. And I think about that. We've talked about it. I don't know that necessarily means heaven and hell, because there's a lot of beat up Christians, you know what I mean, that I believe that are saved. It's taking the long way around. Yeah, they're not doing what it takes to get close, to build that relationship. And, you know, maybe they're battling depression or whatever they can't get over. Because they're not taking that extra step of pursuing, you know, the relationship like it needs to be, the narrow way.
Right.
And I don't know, just I kind of heard it that way, and it's like, man, that makes sense, because, you know, we can't say that every Christian is just living the life that God wants us to live. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, because ain't not one of us perfect.
Mm-mm.
So therefore, if we're not perfect, there's a sin somewhere.
Yep.
Or something,
even
whether we notice it or not.
Right. And even if it's not a sin, maybe we're just comfortable. You know what I mean? We're just
complacent.
Yep.
Yeah. That's dangerous ground too.
Talk about complacent. Let's put this back on you. How's the run for God going?
Complacent. Complacent with what we've done.
Yeah. Actually, we went up here and done a run. And Friday, I said, I didn't do no run. Anyway, I went up to the church with her. I'm like, Yeah. I was like, are y'all doing y'all's run today? Well, nobody said nothing, so I don't know. So I was like, okay, well, let's, you know. She's like, we'll go up there and I'll shoot some basketball and then she'll do a run. So she's like, send a picture to the group. So she told me that, and I was stirring the pot at that. Did y'all quit or what?
Bad weather. No one said anything.
Yeah. So this will be your second week, or is this your
third
week?
This will be a third week.
Third week?
We only did one day of the second week.
Can you tell that you're getting like a little better lung
capacity? Yeah, I can tell. the running wise too. I mean, just it comes down to pacing yourself and not like I was going all out sprinting. I was like, I can't find a jogging speed. I feel like if someone passed, like being in traffic, someone passes me, I'm passing back, you know,
road rage.
Yeah. But, so yeah, it was better when you learn. I mean, there's discipline in it and you gotta learn what they are and you gotta learn what your body can do. You know, it's a lot more than what you think just running to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Have y'all done an outside run yet or is it all been?
No, it's all been inside.
Inside.
And I think that's been best for the group.
Yeah.
Because we have people all different speeds and, you know, some people are just walking only. Mm-hmm. That's all they just wanted to get involved to walk in the fellowship.
Yeah.
And then you got other people that are doing the walking and jogging and walking and jogging. And then Jen's doing the jogging the whole time.
Yeah. And Jen's just out there killing it.
Yeah. So, man, different, everybody at a different speed. If we're in the same room, so we got the fellowship there and it's a little easier. Like my wife said, you know, I won't quit if there's other people there.
Yeah, you can push each other easier. Yeah. I know it's been a couple of years, but I decided I wanted to start running again. I don't know what kind of evil spirit got me and thought I'd want to do that. But no, running outside is, man, it's tough.
Yeah.
Like I'm just a concrete or whatever. But the track at Piggott, it's got some kind of high dollar something, but it's like running on a mattress. It's like real soft, wow. So that's pretty cool. I like running there. Jogging or whatever, but
cool. Yeah, I ain't driving that far for it. But
how many y'all have?
I think there was probably 20, 25.
Wow.
The last time, like as far as the class went, cause we had people that was able to come that time that didn't make it, and still some people that haven't been able to make it yet that said they're coming.
Do you know the date of the 5K? Has it been set yet?
I don't think it's been set. I want to say it's like 12 weeks out from when we started. I think it's in May, if that sounds right. I'm not sure.
Cool.
I don't know. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I think it'll be.
I might. Depends on where it's. I got my meet coming up in April. If it's after that, I might come
support anyway.
I don't know that I'll run it. I know I won't run it. I don't know if I'll walk it. But. Well, hey, we'll wrap it up there then. If you guys would, go to our Facebook page. You can look up Dudes in Christ Podcast on Facebook. Give us a like, follow it. And also, if you have any questions, anything that you want us to maybe answer on air, or a topic you would be interested in learning about, just pop it there, send us a message. And... you know, we'd be more than glad to talk about it and give us something to dig in and talk about. So give us a follow. Give us a like. You can find me on Facebook at Justin Fowler.
And
are you on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm still on Facebook. Josh Cullum, Cullum.
There you go. Hit us up. Till next time. This is Dudes in Christ.